There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks technology.
I was going to say something else then.
I wondered where that was going.
Sorry, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. I'm having a hobnob cake biscuit thing.
I'm not sure. David brought them in yesterday, and his wife, mate, so David McKenzie, who was in with you on Drive Live Talks Careers yesterday.
Yes.
Those are the greatest things. What are they? Biscuit cake, she calls them?
Broken biscuit cake, I think it is.
That's it, yeah.
When you've got a biscuit tin and you crack all the biscuits and all the broken ones at the bottom, it's just like squishing them all together.
I think it's a bit
more technical than that, though, to be honest, but fine.
you basically add butter and leave it in the fridge. I think that's what it is. Delicious. Did you like it, by the way? Quite rich.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're quite Moorish.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, if you'd like another, just let me know.
Yes, we'll do.
I know you usually bring stuff in for us, but today we wanted to share the love.
Oh, lovely. Thank you, guys.
Indeed. We're going to kick straight off with the rubbish Kickstarter this week because, Nick, it's something that I've often had a serious concern about.
Is it not?
Rubbish Kickstarters.
I'm worried now.
I'm joking. I'm actually joking. Well, this is the first I've even seen of this, and I'm... Well, you explain, Nick. Basically, if you have a security camera or any kind of camera, I guess it could work on. Mm-hmm. We have cameras in the studio here. And it would work on something like this.
I still wonder what these cameras are doing in our studio, just saying, because they never seem to be recording.
They do record sometimes. It depends how well-behaved our guests are.
Ah, that's true. Yeah. So that's probably why they never record me. Yeah, this is basically a Kickstarter, all right? That's called, where is it gone? Priv. All right. And what these people are saying is that, okay, security cameras are great and everything, but if you install them in your house or in your office, whatever, you know, you are basically opening yourself up to being remotely hacked by somebody, and then they can, you know, access your cameras and then spy on you and things like that. So basically what these guys are saying is that with Privy, it's essentially a device that you slap onto your security camera. And when you basically don't want the camera to be recording, you can use an app on your phone to activate Privy, which then sort of expands kind of like a shield in front of the camera lens.
Like a fan, isn't it? One of those paper fans.
Yes. Yeah. So it expands this, you know, fan or whatever you want to call it, a visor even in front of the camera, and basically blocks the camera's view.
No.
And that's what they're calling it.
The thing is, though, if you ever see any of the sort of big tech giants, that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, any interview or any shot you see of him with his laptop, the camera is sellotaped over.
Yes.
Nick is demonstrating.
Yes.
Yeah, mine isn't sellotaped over because I'm not a tech giant or tech expert in any sense.
Could spy on you, Natalie, like really.
This is true, Nick.
That is quote of the year, by the way, because I'm not a tech giant. It was like the penny dropped.
No, the penny dropped a long time ago that I know nothing about technology. But in all seriousness, this is kind of creepy. Have a little listen to what they have to say about Priv. Is it Priv? Priv? Priv?
Privy.
Yeah, Privy. Great.
Still exist. These days, there's something wrong with the privacy protection. Anyone is able to get access to your secrets, deepest fears, and use the data again.
I feel frightened of him.
His
not
voice.
The camera.
Oh my word, his voice, honestly, is just like the worst thing I've heard all day.
There's a thing here to point out, though. So when you're making these things, that voice there is really creepy. But if you listen to the next voice and imagine it slowed down ever so slightly, you'll realize that this has been done on the cheap.
Oh my word.
Have a listen.
Privacy. Does it still exist? These days, there's something wrong with the privacy protection. Anyone is able to get access to your secrets, deepest fears, and use the data again.
This is just like a really poor man's James Bond, isn't
it's like,
it?
It's like he's talking into like a paper cup or something. That's what it is. But we're not here to talk about, you know, how great his audio skills are. Clearly they aren't. But yeah, so Privy is this wonderful little supposedly smart privacy solution for security cameras. Obviously it's got an app to activate this little fan visor thing. But here's the kicker. They were looking for 100,000 euros to make this happen. They have 16 days to go. 25 backers have already given them 19,778 euros.
People clearly see this as a genuine problem.
They do, but I mean, what's going to stop someone from, you know, removing the Privy from your camera? Or you know, like, I don't understand where this would be, where you'd apply this, because obviously you're not going to apply this to, you know, public areas where there are cameras. You know, it's only on properties and things like that.
And the thing is, if it's a security camera, you want it to be operational when you're not there, because yes. you want it to protect you.
Yes.
But if you turn the fan on all the time, you might forget to turn it off, and then you end up with this device that is redundant because the camera is covered.
Yes. It's bizarre. It serves no purpose, in my humble opinion.
Harder and dirhams going on this one, Nick?
No, not even close. I'm going to save it for my festive shopping. That's for
Tim,
sure.
What about you?
It's just total nonsense. I like the fact, though, that it's the way it's sold. The USP is that it's controlled by a smartphone app. That's going to get the attention of lots of people, because you think you have control over something that you probably shouldn't be too controlling over. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
It's something that is there for a reason, so covering up. It's just completely pointless. Turn the camera off if you're really that bothered.
The phrase "more money than sense" kind of springs to mind, doesn't it? Coming up, Nick Rago will be answering your questions. If you want to ask him anything tech related, 4001 via the free messaging app. We'll also canter through some of these topics. I want to hear about the Fitbit, and I also want to know how happy we all are that Google has solved the cheeseburger problem.
Drive Live talks technology.
Our guest today is Nick Rago from Tech Radar, and we're going to start with a couple of questions that have come in for you already, Nick. One is this. Hi, Nick. What's the best option for personal home cloud for moderate use? That's from Shaz.
Hey, Shaz. Thanks for texting in. Honestly, I think if you just want something that just does the basic storage and a little bit of sharing, Western Digital has put out their updated MyCloud home storage devices. They come anywhere between 2 terabytes all the way up to 16 terabytes. If you buy the Duo model, it basically has 2 drives slotted in, so you can use it as a backup on one of the drives as well. But definitely look at that. That's the most simplest out-of-the-box solution. If you want something a little bit more in-depth, a little bit more geeky, you can go with brands like Synology. However, the added cost is that in addition to buying the home storage unit, you will need to buy the drive separately, whereas with devices like the WD Cloud, the drive's already built in.
Okay, we've had a text in from Abdul. We were just talking about a screen for a home security camera in rubbish Kickstarters. Abdul's texted in and said it's a good idea to cover cameras for privacy. We can automate camera lens covers when mobile phones are present inside the home. Is that something you would agree with, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on, obviously, what kind of system you're setting in place. So if, for example, the system detects that, you know, phones are home, so you don't need to be, you know, don't need to turn the cameras on, so the cameras could just basically turn down or turn away to the wall or just shut off entirely. So something that could be set up, but I think it's an ongoing thing with people who set up, you know, IP cameras and other kinds of surveillance systems in their houses and properties. It is just how comfortable you are with cameras monitoring it at all, you know, kind of given times.
Okay, we've had another text and no name on this one. Hi, Nick. I heard popular smartphone devices that use OLED screens are susceptible to screen burn or image retention. Is there any truth to that?
What kind of screens?
OLED.
OLED? Oh, good. Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay.
Be confident.
I know you were questioning us about this off air, whether it was OLED or OLED.
I didn't believe you.
I'm hurt that you would ever think that I would tell you the wrong information.
Yeah, oh, of course you would. You pair. Rascals.
Well, on to the answer to your question. So, this unfortunately is a problem because manufacturers want more clarity and, you know, beautiful colors and things like that on their smartphone displays. They are using OLED screens, which over time can have a screen burn, which is sadly just all down to how the manufacturers program the OSs to display certain bits of information in certain screen regions and how long you're using the phone and things like that. So it is something that may happen. On certain models, it's a little bit more evident than others. However, the things you can do definitely to try and minimize that is reducing your screen timeout. So make sure that basically if your screen timeout is set for like 10 seconds or 30 seconds, that's pretty good, because any longer than that, then you've got an image that's on your display for basically longer than you need it. Setting your brightness to like a medium or a medium low or adaptive brightness as well. And also certain manufacturers like Samsung, for example, even though they use OLED displays, their pixel arrangement is slightly different from other standard displays like the ones found on Google Pixel, for example. So they've been using this kind of arrangement since the Galaxy S3 or even earlier than that. So, you know, with certain manufacturers, you know that they've pretty much been doing their homework. They know the science behind how these screens operate, so they know what they're doing. But that's basically my kind of two bits of information, is just make sure you're using the devices for as long as you need to, and when you don't need it, just shut off your screen and you'll be good to go.
Okay, we've got Nick here for another 20 minutes, so if you do have a question for him, text 4001 via the free messaging app. But let's talk about Google, because this made
this
us chuckle.
Important. This is headline.
This is the top story in the tech world. Let it not be said.
Well, we talked about this in the show a couple of weeks ago, where somebody had basically spotted the difference of the cheeseburger emoji on iOS and on Google, and on Android. Basically, they were saying that Google puts the cheese underneath the patty, and you know, literally the Twitter was having a field day, and people just lost the plot. And so basically, Google CEO Sundar Pichai basically said, "We're going to drop everything and we're going to fix this." And he actually kept his word. So basically, in the latest Google developer preview, if you look at the emoji set, you will see that the cheese is now rightfully placed on top of the patty.
We can all sleep a little bit easier.
All is right with the world.
We can all sleep a little bit easier
exactly,
now.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
And there was an article that was on TechRadar, actually, about the massive flaw in Mac operating system as well.
This is so bizarre. Okay, you would think Macs are, you know, so much more secure than Windows, and you don't hear a lot of attacks happening on Mac OS, but you're raising your hands.
I just want to say, I was going to say something. I had a contribution for technology.
Wait, let me turn. Let me pay full attention.
I felt like this security flaw even I could have used.
Yes.
I could have hacked into this. This is how basic it is.
Full confidence. Yeah. Basically, in macOS High Sierra, which is the latest version of Apple's operating system for their Macs, somebody accidentally discovered that at the login screen, if you continually, I think, press the login button after a couple of times, you can just type in the username as root and no password and you get into the system.
I know, and you can sometimes use as the other user.
Yeah,
you can also
just go in without
even
a password.
Even I could have done that.
Even you could do it, Natalie. So obviously this is a massive security flaw and Apple have yet to issue an update. But yeah, it's bizarre that a company as massive as Apple let this slip through the testing cracks.
Do you know what the worries me slightly more about this is this article appears and then Apple confirmed they're aware of the bug, they're working on a software update to address the issue. Meanwhile, potentially in another universe, everybody's been hacked.
Yeah, it's unsettling, but at the same time, at least Apple acknowledges it and they are working on something. So when they release a patch, please install it if you have macOS High Sierra on your devices.
And so how is this addressed? What's the chain of command in this, Nick? Any idea? Because it would seem to me that this is a drop everything and sort this out slightly more important than the cheeseburger issue.
Yeah. Well, basically, stuff like this will go to the security team that are working on macOS. They will replicate the issue. They will look at logs and try and see, okay, what is it that's triggering this particular bug? Is it the certain number of times the login button is clicked? Is it a particular, if the device is running on battery or if it's plugged in? So they go through all these various benchmarks to try and replicate the problem. Once they've replicated it, they then go in and figure out software fixes in the programming lab, and they apply that in-house. Once they're able to determine that the problem has been addressed, they then roll it out to the Apple store, and then basically people get notification on their devices to update, and then that's it.
Okay.
Seems simple enough.
It does, but I mean, the thing is, a headline like this is, we all kind of think, oh, isn't that obvious? We could have done that. But it's a really serious issue. All of a sudden think, hold on a minute, all my data is potentially compromised. They're working on a fix here, isn't there? Is it user error? Do I trust the manufacturer? In this case, you know, what's Apple doing? You know, it's a serious PR disaster.
It is. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that, you know, they are able to catch every single bug, but this seems so easy.
There are bugs and there are back doors, and there are ways where you think, okay, I can see where that is. But, you know, when you... Back doors, you see? But when it's switching your computer on and it's your password, it seems to me that
I mean, it's a first line of defense. That login screen is a first line of defense, and if you can't get past that, then you're fine. But if all you have to do is bash the login button and then just hit enter and you're in, then that's really, really unsettling. So let's hope that Apple issues this fix really quickly.
Will someone be sacked over this, do you think? Is this the kind of thing that happens?
I don't know about sacking, but definitely some heads will roll and people will be brought up to thinking, like, why was this not addressed in beta testing? Why did you guys not pick up on something as simple as this?
All credit to the person that discovered it, though.
Definitely.
Get them a job with Apple.
Hitting the enter button.
Now,
get
Nick,
your job.
You was kind of sort of sarcastically have mentioned that smartwatches might not still be
I'm
a thing.
I'm not sarcastic. I'm very truthful.
Okay.
forward slash S.
Fitbit Iconic launches here in the UAE, so Tell us about it.
Tell us about it. Okay, so basically, Abbas was wearing this today in the office, and I happened to...
He is, isn't he? He's the man with a new gadget every day. Could you
just like,
it's like a different person?
Yeah, it's like, oh, look what I have today, and I could not really care. But yeah, so the Fitbit Iconic is Fitbit's latest sort of entry into the smartwatch market. It looks quite nice. I found it a little bit boxy in terms of design because it's not... I think the bezels on it are a lot thicker than something like on the Apple Watch. Even the strap itself was very wide and then tapers down. So from a looks perspective, I found it looked quite bulky on Abbas's wrist. But if you are, you know, somebody who enjoys you wearing one of these things, given that the Fitbit Iconic has a 5-day battery on a single charge, 4 or 5 day battery, it's pretty good. It obviously does everything a normal smartwatch would do. So you can change your watch face, you get your step counter, calories, heart rate, things like that. It is pretty, you know, pretty good for a smartwatch. It's priced at $1,399. So, you know, it's about the same range as Apple Watch because I think Apple Watch is $1,299. Mm. So it's kind of, you know, positioning itself in that same market and that kind of same demographic. But I still wonder, are people, you know, wearing these things? Do people rely on smartwatches? Do they like wearing them?
Are they like leg warmers, really, smartwatches?
No, I think I know some people who are still counting their steps and doing things and getting their text messages on their phones. Yeah. Not me, might I add. But yeah.
I think for me, the reason I stopped wearing or I really didn't buy into the whole smartwatch craze is because it was one more device to recharge. And I was just, I want to be able to just take off my watch and put it on a dressing table and not worry about, you know, plugging it in somewhere or putting on a charging pad. It's just literally lying there and it's there in the morning when I need it. Simple as that.
In a few minutes' time, we'll be answering Usman's question about his Samsung S7. We'll stay with Samsung for a launch of a new app that's helping colorblind people see color.
Drive Live talks technology.
Our guest today is Nick Rago from Tech Radar. And you're dancing away.
We're jamming in the studio is what we're doing.
Do you know I've not called you this week? Nick Radar.
Oh, I thought we were going to get through the show without having
you have now.
I know. Just letting you know that is your new name. So, Nick Radar, Usman texts in, and he says, my Samsung S7 Edge was recently updated, and it changed a few things that I'm aware of. However, I cannot find the patch notes. Is there a way to find out what was actually patched?
So, if you go to developer.samsung.com, you should have a section there on Android which gives you the release notes for each update that they've issued. So try there and you should find what you're looking for, Usman.
Okay. We also have a text in from Jason. And Jason's asking, what's your take on the Z-Time My Kronos Kickstarter smartwatch?
Okay. Without getting too much of details, as a backstory, all right, this is a lovely looking smartwatch. 26,800 people have pledged $5,300,000.
What?
To make this happen.
This Kickstarter is happening.
Yeah, $5,300,000 to make this happen. And it basically combines the traditional watch hands of a normal watch with a with basically a smart screen. So basically the hands of the watch are sitting on top of a regular screen. So when a message or whatever pops up and you need to read it, the hands basically become, they become horizontal. So you get to see the full message underneath the hands, if it makes any sense.
That's quite cool, but also... Just look at your phone.
Yeah.
You know? Read the message.
But anyway, so that's kind of what the watch is. The fact that it's raised that much of money means that people really, you know, really want it. And it looks good. It said that they're proudly designed in Switzerland, so clearly they mean something to people. But, I mean, I'm indifferent. Whenever I see smartwatches being advertised on Kickstarter or Indiegogo or anywhere, I'm always cautious because there are a number of people who have pitched things like this on various crowdfunding platforms and it's just failed to deliver. The only one that I know of which is hugely successful was the Pebble smartwatch, and that's kind of still going with various iterations. But, it looks like a decent watch, Jason, if it's something you invested money in, please let us know if you're going to get it. But yeah, it looks decent. Would I invest in it? Not really, because as per our previous discussion, I'm not a huge smartwatch recharging person. So yeah, that's my take on it.
Okay, and I talked about Samsung before. They've launched an app for the TVs that lets people who are colorblind see color.
Yeah, so I mean, I need to phrase that better. It's not like you'll suddenly magically see color. It basically adjusts the spectrum of colors on the TV so they can see a little bit sort of better than just seeing like grays or reds or certain hues.
The contrast, exactly.
So it adjusts that better so that they're basically viewing images closer to what the actual image color is. And it's something that Samsung has rolled out a couple of years ago, but it's now basically available to all of the app stores. You can download it to your phone and then just basically pair it with any compatible Samsung TV, and the Samsung TV will read the settings on the phone, because basically the app will take you through a colorblind test to basically measure your what degrees of colorblindness you have. It'll store the information on the app. The app will then transmit the information to the TV. It'll adjust the settings automatically, and then somebody who has problems viewing any particular color can then see a better spectrum on the TV because of the adjustments.
That's great. That's cool. There's an app for everything.
It's a useful
now.
App. There is. Very Isn't useful.
Very,
app.
Very cool.
And just very briefly, Nick, the fact that 10K is coming. So 4K, we have.
4K is old school. 10K is where it's at. 10K is what all the kids are talking about. No, this is what's funny. Is at one of the trade shows earlier this year, one of the big TV manufacturers was showcasing their 4K displays, but on the wall behind them, they were showcasing their 8K displays. And I'm thinking to myself, we're just barely getting onto 4K. Why are you already trying to, you know, make 8K the new 4K in that sense? So basically what's happened is over the weekend, the HDMI forum has announced that a new HDMI standard, standard 2.1, is arriving soon. And these will basically offer smoother frame rates, I think up to 60 FPS on 4K, which basically means if you're playing video games, 120 FPS at 4K. So if you're playing video games on TVs that support this kind of frame rate, means you'll have super smooth gameplay and super smooth images. But yeah, the fact that anywhere between 8 to 10K resolution is coming to TV soon is staggering. It's crazy.
So what's going to be the difference between 10K and 4K?
You
what's
can
the difference
see,
between 4K and... Can you see it?
You will see people's pores, basically.
Really?
I can see people's pores now, though. If I watch it, it's something like...
Okay, you'll see the hair follicles on those pores.
Oh,
how
I
about
don't
that?
Want to.
Well, you're going to get it.
I really
but that's
want
that's
to.
Been the problem with HD TV, hasn't it? For TV stations. You know, people makeup has had to change.
It has. When you watch some shows, one of my favourite shows, now I'm like, I don't need to see every line and wrinkle and pore in your face. Thank you very much. Just a quick one here from Bhaskar Nick. It says, my friend owns an S7 Edge. He forgot his patterns lock. Will he be able to recover the data on his mobile? The photos are very valuable.
Bhaskar, there are two ways to do it. One is basically putting the phone into recovery mode and trying to access the USB contents that way. The other is through Google itself. I will try and send you a link so you have a bit more information. So I'll send you that via text message in a couple of minutes.
You should be able to do that by going into the settings and doing it with your PIN, assuming you remember your PIN.
Yeah, but sometimes it just doesn't work, and it's only passcode, only with the pattern, so you can't get it even with a PIN.
Okay.
Crazy
okay.
stuff.
All right, Fair enough, Bhaskar. I hope that answers your question. Nick? It's been a pleasure this
Thank
week. Nick Rago is from Tech Radar, not Nick Radar from Tech Rago, but it sounds like a good enough
Watch
combination, doesn't it?
You never know.
Coming here soon. That was Drive Live Talks Tech for this week. Nick will be back next week.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.